take out your Bible and turn with me to Luke chapter 3, and follow along as we hear the good news, beginning in verse 7, going through 18. Luke is continuing the story of John that we started last week. Then John said to the crowds who came to be baptized by him, "You children of snakes, who warned you to escape from the angry judgment that is coming soon? Produce fruit that shows you have changed your hearts and lives. And don't even think about saying to yourselves, 'Abraham is our father.' I tell you that God is able to raise up Abraham's children from these stones. And the axe is already at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that doesn't produce good fruit will be chopped down and tossed into the fire." The crowd asked him, "What then should we do?" And he answered, "Whoever has two shirts must share with the one who has none, and whoever has food must do the same." Even the tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said to him, "Teacher, what should we do?" And he replied, "Collect no more than you are authorized to collect." And the soldiers asked, "Well, what about us? What should we do?" And he answered, "Don't cheat or harass anyone, and be satisfied with your pay." The people were filled with expectation, and everyone wondered whether John might be the Messiah. John replied to them all, "I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than me is coming. I'm not worthy to loosen the strap of his sandals, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. The shovel he uses to sift the wheat from the husks is in his hand, and he will cleanse out his threshing area and bring the wheat into his barn. But he will burn the husks with a fire that can't be put out." And with many other words, John appealed to them, proclaiming good news to the people. It's the word of God for the people of God. Lord, because of your good news, we long to change our heart and life. As we do, help us to be filled with joy. In Jesus' name, amen. So what does it mean to have joy? We heard a little bit from Laura in the children's message about the joy that they experience at this time of year. And I'm thinking of yesterday when we celebrated my mother-in-law's birthday. We were having a good time, but all throughout the day, she was getting dozens of phone calls. It seemed like every time somebody called her to wish her a happy birthday, her face lit up with joy. Many of us have a similar sense of joy when somebody celebrates a special occasion with us, when they congratulate us, when they cheer us on. And they're happy for us and with us. We're especially approaching such a day. It's on our hearts, it's on our minds, it's on the tip of our tongues. Christmas, where we celebrate the birth of Jesus. No, it's not our birthday. It's the birthday. The greatest birthday there ever was. And so now is the time to throw parties, right? Woo! We celebrate the gift that we have, the gift that comes with the presence of each other, the gift that we are to one another. We celebrate with shouts of praise. We celebrate with hope. We celebrate with laughter and with joy. We don't simply celebrate with a surface experience. Because it's not a pretending that all is well, especially when there are so many people who are struggling, when all is not well. For example, in contrast to the season of joy, there are many of us who are experiencing a season of gloom. I mean, if many of us are really honest, we're tired. We're stressed out, we're exhausted, we're dejected, plain old sad. Then we also have the weather that can't seem to make up its mind. It seems to want to be a little colder and gloomier each and every day. And then just a couple days ago, we had a tornado that ravaged some local communities and tragically took a lot of lives. Sometimes it seems like all the lights that we put out and decorate in our yards and our houses, it seems like they just can't quite pierce the gloom. And yet, there's still something there. That's the power of Christmas. That's the power of the incarnation, of God with us. That no matter how gloomy it is, there is always an and yet. Dreary it may be, and yet there is joy. Underneath us, above us, behind us, in front of us, all around us, it surrounds us. It's a persistent, transforming, sustaining joy. And Christmas is a reminder of that joy. The joy that is ours. The joy that is always and everywhere. It's like a shot in the arm to boost our flagging spirits, or an inoculation against our complacency. It's a rebirth to once again let our life draw from a deep reservoir where we can sip joy and taste once again from that life-giving spring, a joy that sustains, a presence that abides, that even on our difficult moments and on our hardest and cloudiest of days. This means that we don't force people into a certain kind of response when they don't reciprocate our particular holiday greeting. Instead, we carry a joy that makes an offer, a simple offer that extends the joy of Jesus Christ. How do we do that? One easy way is we share stories. We share what Jesus has done in us and through us and with us. And we share what Jesus is doing around us and with us now. And we find ways of celebrating those occasions when lives are changed, when hearts are made whole, and when needs are met. And we talk with authenticity, letting people know that you can find joy in the midst of despair. That when we share our experiences, that we realize that the pain doesn't always go away, but and yet, in the midst of that, there's that gilded edge, a silver lining, that we have found a new perspective. We discover the resources, the strength to continue. What's more, we can also celebrate, we can also find joy when we anticipate with the children. You know, watching the children there and seeing them and they're getting ready and on Wednesday nights, that's just that anticipation. Love making us anticipate that word, anticipation. But it's like the kids, you can see it, it's all bundled up. They're about to explode with joy. They can barely contain themselves for another week and a half or so. They're about to burst out, and if they do, let them. Let it happen to yourself. Express your joy. Move, act, sing, dance. Rhythms of the music, whether it's the hymns or the praise songs, move you. And you be the influencer to those around you. You raise up. Be the one that puts a smile on the faces of those who aren't used to smiling much anymore. No, it doesn't change our difficult circumstances. But yet it is a sign of the promise that there is reversal on the way. That the kingdom of God is on the way. At least that's how John would say it. See, in our scriptures today, John breaks out onto the scene and he's calling people to repentance, to change their ways. And when people come, he's a little surprised. You hear him calling people names? All these people from all walks of life are coming. And some are sincere. They are there for true repentance, a genuine change of heart and life. While others are simply there for show. They simply want others to think that they are holy and religious. John saw through it all. And even in the midst of all the doom and gloom that he had to say, the community of the faith, saw this as good news. Especially when John cries out, there is one greater than he who is coming. When we look at verse 18, it says, with many words, John appealed to them, proclaiming good news to the people. Thank you, really? Did you just read what we just read? Did we read the same verses? I mean, John is scolding anyone within earshot. How can you call that good news? Yet, that's what the scripture says. They called it good news. Here's how. Here's why. See, John's criticism wasn't the point. His teaching was at the heart of the good news that he had to proclaim. And the struggle in delivering delivering that good news was he had to get through the bad news first. You know, I've got bad news and good news. Let me give you the bad news first. He had to get through that. And then, the good news. It was like a refreshing shower, or a hot bath, or clean water poured on their sleepy souls. And their response is, what should we do? You know, when your son or your daughter or your child or your grandchild or perhaps your student, when they finally start getting it, you know, when you've been trying to teach them an idea and suddenly that spark ignites and their eyes light up and it's like they're finally understanding and they're finally starting to grasp it. And you get excited too. I mean, it's like finally, and you just start pouring your heart out to them. And that's what John does here. He's pouring his heart out that has been filled with the revelation that God's kingdom is near and is full of mercy and justice and love. And it doesn't matter if they were sinners, if they were tax collectors, or even if they were the oppressive Roman soldiers. He tells them, bear fruit. Show that you're alive and not dead. And he tells them to live. Live! Yet live rightly. Live, he told the soldiers. Don't abuse your power. Don't threaten to get your way. Don't scare and coerce people into doing what you want them to do. Instead, learn contentment. Don't keep wanting more and more and more. And to the tax collectors, some people thought they were traitors, that they were the enemies of the people. And he said, live for mercy. Don't take more than what people can stand, more than you're supposed to take. Don't rob, don't steal, don't wound people with the stroke of your red pen. Care about the people over whom you have authority. And to the crowd that was there along the banks waiting to be baptized, he said to them, live! Live generously. Live in community as though that you belong to one another. Because you do. Live as though you are responsible for each other, because you are. Bear fruit that is worthy of repentance. Worthy as in, like, if I do something right, I'll earn it and I'll deserve it, right? No! Bear fruit to show that you have repented. To show God that you have turned around, that you've changed your life, that you're walking in a new direction. Bear fruit that shows people that you have a new life and that you want to share it. Because Because this life that you've claimed, this life of following Jesus, this joy from which you've drunk, it's not meant to be kept inside. It's not meant to be kept quiet. It's meant to be shared. You've got to share it. You've got to shout it. You've got to sing it. You've got to give it away. Paul says in Philippians 4:4, he says, "Be glad in the Lord always. Again, I say be glad. Let your gentleness show in your treatment of all people. Because the Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything. Rather, bring up all your requests to God in your prayers and petitions, along with giving thanks. And then the peace of God that exceeds all understanding will keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus." Therein lies the joy of life. "I baptize you with water," John says, "so that you can start over, so that you can repent, so that you can be free from fear, so that you can give thanks to the Lord, so that you can express the Spirit that Jesus gives you." That is joy. For us here at First United Methodist Church, Mountain Home, it's essentially making life better and making you better at life through Jesus Christ. Therefore, on those rainy and dreary and gray days, we can still vibrate with the joy of Christ's presence this Christmas. It's not a denial of everything that's messed up in this world. It's not implying that there are no more tears in our days ahead. It's more than that. It means that we can learn to hope even in the difficult moments of our life. That we can have peace even when the world is in chaos around us. It means that we don't proclaim sunshine and roses all the time for everyone all the time, because that's not joy. Instead, there's a depth in honesty here, that as we celebrate the goodness of God, even in the midst of our reality, we can find joy. Let us find that joy, however loud or quiet it may be. We can trust that it is here, because God is here. That through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, there is good news for us. The angels called it good news of great joy. As our imaginations depict the joy of a homecoming that sweeps us off our feet, may we offer the joy of Christ this Christmas to our neighbors, to the strangers. Even if some of us can't find it anywhere else, let us find it here. Let it be found here in this home. This is your invitation to come home to Christ. Come together and let us adore Him, fully present as we do, fully alive as we experience the joy of the presence of our salvation. And let us let this be a sign of the coming kingdom of God. May it remind us all that there is joy in this home. Promised joy. Felt joy. Real joy. And may we all lean into that joy together. Amen.